here we go. Okay, let the horses in. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Who is that? Who's all upset? Who's that, Sean?
I think that's, what's her face? Clompy bitch?
Sheesh, something's wrong. Wow.
Maybe she stepped in one of your holes.
Okay.
Jeez, in the backyard.
Okay. We're moving on. It's a whole, that's the nice thing about radio. You get a whole fresh start.
Let's
bring the microphone in a little closer. I can't hear the horses, but they're maybe they'd move around a little bit. Just give them a little shot there, would you? Aaron, there we go. Let's listen in. Oh,
she was already trained for another odor. It only takes a few weeks to really get them proficient to a new odor.
It doesn't smell. In fact, there's no smell at all.
And so Cobra actually has shown to be over 99% accurate in her training.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy, diving in the news. All right. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. You text us well. Come in the State Roofing text line, and all are welcome. One is chosen to be letter of the day. It is the great honor that so many people clamor for. By the way, I'm a big fan. That is your husband, isn't it? That guy I met a month ago over at Dory's. Is that your husband?
It is my husband.
Yes. I really like that guy. He is a, don't lose that guy. He is a terrific individual and really a lot of fun to talk to. I was just thinking about him the other day.
Thank you.
Yes. And he puts up with your crazy hours and the fact that you've been watching the Seattle City Council enough to drive anybody nuts. Apparently, they got $15 million they're going to split because they were able to drive away enough police officers.
So, yes, there's $15 million they're going to split, but the big to-do yesterday was how are they going to split it and what is it going to go to? So the $15 million is essentially savings because of the exodus of officers that we've had. So over the last 18 months, 300 cops gone that have left the force.
Mm-hmm.
They've hired 100, so that's a net loss of 200. But as we've talked about before, there's a bunch, I think 100 or so, who are burning through vacation, sick time, whatever they have left. And then the expectation is at least half of those will leave the department. There's also talk about those who might leave because of the vaccine mandates. So there's still this bleeding that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you've got a bunch of rookie cops who are not going to be up to speed. You know, some of these officers who've left are detectives and have been on the job a long time. So what are we going to do? We need to invest in training and retention and hiring bonuses is what Councilmember Alex Peterson thought. So he wanted to use either some of that money or some other money between $1 and $3 million basically is what he was pitching to use for hiring and retention strategies that included to some degree some bonus money.
Mm-hmm.
For I think like $15,000 signing bonus, which remember we used to do that, but that expired in either June or July. So they don't have that ability anymore. So he tried to pitch that to council. And here's what he had to say.
Budget I believe this motion should be viewed in the bigger picture of the substantial investments and actions that we have taken and will continue to take to boost human services programs and to reimagine public safety. As we await various alternatives to be put in place, we must also recognize the tidal wave of attrition, the spike in 911 response times for priority one and priority two calls, the benefits of having community policing officers and detectives, and as noted by the monitor of the federal consent decree, the need to have sufficient staffing to advance and sustain reforms for the department that we still have.
Hmm.
And he also pointed out that the $3 million was basically money from that $15 million pot of savings. So it's money that was already approved for the 21 budget. It's not like they're giving them new money, basically, was the argument. So there was a lot of people who had stuff to say about this. An hour worth of public comment that went on. I won't play it all for you. But
please.
Here's the majority of it.
Funding SPD hiring bonuses with money currently dedicated toward community-led public safety efforts is unjust and a complete betrayal of council's commitment to stop funding police over community needs.
It's an insult to consider giving hiring bonuses and retention bonuses to a department that can't figure out how to end racist stops and excessive use of force against Black and Native communities.
SPD does not keep our community safe. They do not deserve more money.
Councilmember Peterson wants to take money away from underfunded community public safety efforts and give it to the already bloated SPD budget. That is a complete betrayal of council's commitment to stop funding police over community needs. Mm. And frankly, it disgusts me.
Oh, okay.
So that went on for the majority of that public comment, but there was...
By the way, what time does that happen?
That was at 2 in the afternoon, later, and it was later. So it was, I don't know, 3:30 or so.
So do you get in the queue, you sit there, and you get in the queue, and you wait, and then you come on the thing? So
and you come on, and you hope that it all works out, the technical aspect.
Yeah. And it's just during a work day when people would be working.
Right, but, you know, a lot of people are still working from home. And, I think as we've talked about before, Tom, too, is there's the scripted folks, right? There was a lot of people, because there was dueling amendments to this yesterday. You had also one from Soma Sawant that would have taken more money away from SPD to put into these community efforts of policing. Yeah. So a lot of the folks were her supporters.
Just a quick question. Was this on Zoom or are they in person now?
No, they won't be in person for the rest of the
year.
Right,
okay. Yeah, so it is easier to testify, yeah.
Okay.
Sure, you can do it on your phone, whatever.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure I get the pro in here. So this was last public commenter yesterday.
This place is lawless. We have an open drug market, people getting shot very close to an elementary school during the day. We have people running right through the freeway on Aurora, causing great hazard to many drivers. Council President Gonzalez, I directly heard you say last week that you met with Green Lake residents and we're going to immediately go back to our desk and email the chief of police and ask him what he was going to do to help the situation, and then you would not bring your infant into Green Lake, an area of Green Lake.
So she got cut off, and that was the last one to testify. But she spoke out against all the lawlessness and in favor of the Peterson amendments, which in the end failed. So the $3 million one failed after Councilmember Andrew Lewis and others said, I think it was just Peterson and Juarez were the only ones who voted for that one. Because that money was, it was from that $50 million, but it was supposed to go to this investing into reimagine public safety and community, right? So that's kind of an ongoing thing, and they didn't want to take anything out of that. So he had the lower $1 million one. That lost on a 5-4 vote. So in the end, it all lost, and they are still giving some of that savings to SPD, but it's more for technology and then also the very important beefing up of the storage availability for evidence, right? So your DNA from various, like a sexual assault kit, things like that, storage space in the SPD that was running out. But there was a big push from the mayor and the police chief for this. There's also this new group. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. This is a letter to elected leaders of both the city and the county saying there's got to be better public safety decisions from all elected officials in Seattle and King County because they've eroded the public safety in the city. So this, I think you've got some overlap here from some of the folks who backed Compassion Seattle, who are now part of this group called the Seattle Safety Alliance. Have you guys heard of them?
Said it 5 seconds ago.
This is new.
SSA.
More on this later.
Thank you, Tom.
they're saying a new business coalition calls for a clear plan to public safety. So they sent a letter asking the council to do something different than what they did here yesterday. I will say Lisa Herbold, who's the chair of the Public Safety Committee, did say that she's open to this discussion and thinks it needs to be addressed on the hiring and retention side, but that they're going to start the talks on the 2022 budget here in just a couple of weeks, and that might be a better spot for that.
Okay, so that's what I was going to follow up on. I think the council realizes that they're in a jam, mostly of their own making, in terms of police retention, that they are now, we don't have enough cops. It's one thing to want to defund the cops, but if you don't have enough cops, how are you going to keep the ones that you do have and hire more? And it sounds like this was just a maneuver to keep the money that was mostly dedicated for the community, community groups. I forget what the community service stuff. Yeah. And that they didn't want to divert the liberals on the majority on the council, 7-2 and 5-4, didn't want to divert that money that had already been sort of targeted. But they sound like they're open to and willing to discuss it with the 22 budget. Dirk and the mayor's going to, her last act will be to make her proposal. And then that's when they'll get a chance to kind of repair what damage they may feel like they've done to the number of police officers in this city.
Hey, Hannah, not to put you on the spot, but does Seattle have a city charter the way Minneapolis does, that there's a certain number of police per citizen? They need certain number. I think the number is like 0.0017 per officer per citizen. So a judge in July basically sued the city and said, you're out of alignment with your charter. You need to hire more police. Is it possible that City of Seattle has a charter that says how many police need to serve? I wonder, because it, the people of Minneapolis sued the city, yeah, and that's how they got the judge to step in there and said, start to get your police back in line.
So a couple of things. One, I could not say with any certainty whether that is in our city charter, but okay, I do know that there's a formula, and that's the formula you're talking about right there, mm-hmm, that is what the city of Seattle typically followed, including the SPD. It was either this year or during last year's budget talks that you had Chief Diaz, I believe, came and said, and kind of laid out that formula and said, this is where we need to be. This is where we are. Please don't take all our money. And then at some point during the year, I heard Lorena Gonzalez, the council president, say, you know what? We're not big fans of that formula anymore. There's another way to do it that has to do with something else. They have not, I don't believe they have changed to that, uh-huh, but I believe that will be a discussion moving forward. What we do have is the consent decree.
Yes, right.
Right. So that's where that comes into play. And if there's not, they do have a charter that requires that they provide adequate public safety. I am not certain if it uses a specific number, but the judge in the consent decree had said that they were in danger of losing more cops and that getting too many off of the force would be a violation of the consent decree's requirement, mm-hmm, for public safety that you provide. So they are riding that very thin line, Tom, to kind of go to what you were talking earlier, as mm-hmm, to not displease those that they made all the promises to last year. And that includes, let's be honest, especially Council President Lorena Gonzalez, who is running for mayor. There's an election in the mix here, and there is a huge amount of support and or backlash if they don't do what they promised. So that's coming into play. And then you've got Bruce Harrell, her opponent, who is following the Compassion Seattle model. I just asked him yesterday. He said, yes, absolutely. That's what I'm going to do. So it's still very divided, even with that off the ballot. So they've got to try to find out, ride that line, keep the judge and the consent decree happy, and then keep their supporters happy over there who want to defund the police.
Do you think there's any chance that Mayor Durkan will weigh in on the mayor's race?
Oh, wow. I don't think so anytime soon. Yeah. I don't. She has been fairly quiet. Maybe on her.
Yeah.
Maybe on the. No, I do not. I do not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just checking.
By the way, have they. Does anybody that's in charge there refer to the shootings that have almost been a weekly event? I'm just looking
at three
men injured in North Seattle, a shooting. This was what, from Saturday or something, or Sunday, and then the shootings over on Friday, and then you have others as well. Just type in Seattle shooting and you're going to get something within 24 hour 40s. So who has said something about it?
Council President Lorena Gonzalez.
Ah.
Yesterday morning in the morning briefing, and I'm going to be doing something on this a little later this week, but she talked about what she had previously done in her years on the council regarding gun violence. And then she talked about this new plan, 30 Days of Peace, that is connected to community passageways. I am digging in a little bit more to this. I don't know that it was necessarily her original idea, but she's the one talking about it now. And it's going to be kind of investing more in those mentorship programs that we've talked about before that is part of community passageways. I'm not quite clear on exactly what this 30-day model is going to look like, but it's, you know, again, coinciding with what we've got going on election-wise, it sounds like. So we'll see what happens.
I see.
Yeah, there are two solutions. In fact, Denny Westney profiled this maybe 5-6 months ago, that their response, so yes, violence is up. Everyone acknowledges that. Then the way to respond to it is, one, get more cops on the beat, you know, hire more cops, you know, sort of embolden cops. The other is to pour more energies into the community passageways, like to sort of resolve it without police control. Those are the two visions of Seattle that might be presented by the two mayoral candidates. And Danny Westneat's suggestion is, why not both?
Why not both?
I think where I stand.
But I want to be clear. So community passageways is really more targeted towards getting the youth, right? Getting the youth before they get these guns in their hands
right,
and they get involved with gangs and stuff like that. The council as a whole is also talking about, let's not give this money to SPD. We're going to invest in community. This is communities of color, community where they need help getting jobs, housing. housing, those investments that have not gone on forever. We're talking about systemic racism here. So those types of investments for equitable communities, that's also a big part of that discussion.
Beyond but community
specific to gun violence. Okay. One thing I want to throw out that Councilmember Andrew Lewis actually threw out yesterday in this discussion was he had dug into some data, which he kind of criticized the council and the media for not doing a lot of, on these recent shootings, and found a more than 60% or something like that were tied to homelessness and unsanctioned encampments and individual homeless people who had either shot at or shot someone within the camp or just someone, a general member of the public. And therefore, we need to invest in more homeless strategies like care and things like that. So everybody had their I didn't see the data he looked at. I'm checking.
Everybody's in their own world. And then they all got on unicorns and flew over the rainbow.
I heard something about the West Seattle Bridge in there. No, I'm
yeah, where's the $1 million that Dal Constantine wrote the check for coaching, right? For life coaches, right? So every time what they should do is if I was in the media on television, I'd keep a running count of shootings and homicides every night. You'd have it in there and you'd show it, just keep showing it and showing it and showing it and then explaining what it is. It's a small, teeny, tiny fraction of the population and it occurs always in this one neighborhood or that neighborhood. But let's just keep talking around it. Oh, they're about housing and this and that. What a load of crap.
Keep it up. You have to keep it in the media and you will notice that I'm not prepared. I don't have it in front of me, but the Seattle Police Chief and the mayor put out their statements about this yesterday. SPD Chief puts out every single lately release on this issue that he puts out. It's got a full list of stats on not only the number of shootings, the number of guns taken away, the amount of drugs taken away, but the number of times that officers have, with medical training, with EMT training, have gone in and saved a life, put on a tourniquet, whatever that is. Yep. So I'm going to be learning about that a little more this week as well.
Okay, good. Thank you, Hannah. Wow.
You
there you go. You got it all. Hannah comes in loaded for bear. All right. Let's see. The Tracy Taylor's got a look at traffic. How are we doing? Are we everybody behaving themselves on the way home? Bucky's Auto Service Centers. They've got 16 locations. They've been around for 51 years. I feel somewhat competitive. If Dory Monson's promo is all about his show is the most listened to show in the world or something, it's like, and Dory doesn't normally brag about ratings. And
that's
I don't know anything about ratings until I call Nicole and she's like, did you see the ratings? I'm like, no. Why doesn't anybody ever tell you about the ratings? I'm like, I don't know. And then she curses Jacob for a little while. But how about Dory? Congratulations. The best show that's ever been on the radio or something like that. So that's,
I know, but not last week. I mean, last month, we were the top show.
But did you hear us talking about it?
No.
No. Didn't even know. It's so random anyway. Because it's like the month before, we were like 26th. Yeah. So it's like, what? All of a sudden, we got really good? I yelled at you more? I mean, who cares? Norm MacDonald passes at the age of 61 years old, and I think the thing that when we were in the pre-show meeting talking about it, the thing that struck all three of us almost simultaneous is that he had been battling cancer for 9 years and kept it from just about everybody. I don't know who he talked to about it. I guess only his relatives? I'm not sure.
At this point, he kept it. I mean, he has a professional life, and no one in his professional coterie knew anything about it. So it is fascinating to me that somebody whose his whole demeanor is, if you don't know him, he's kind of this sort of a laid-back, wise guy. He sort of makes these cracks, but he's not up front. It's just so interesting to realize that as the human being. I mean, now I look at pictures of him, and I kind of look past the sheen of you know, who he was and see, like, oh, yeah, there's a real, you know, human being there. There's a real person, and he was fighting this the entire time, didn't want it to affect his professional standing as a comic, and he didn't.
Right. I used to watch clips of him and stuff, and he looked sort of puffy. Like, he has a podcast, and I noticed he looked really puffy. Like, he was on something. I thought, maybe he got gained weight, but then it's that sometimes you get on some sort of drug or whatever, and it... he lost his job at Saturday Night Live. He was a writer and then was also the one doing Weekend Edition, Weekend Update. And the reason he ended up losing is because, what's the guy's name, Tom, from, that owned, ran NBC?
Oh, yeah, Don, Olmeyer or something.
What's this guy's name? The guy of NBC back in the 90s was good friends with O.J. Simpson and said, to Norm. You know what?
Omar,
lay off the jokes about OJ. And Norm's like, no, really?
Thanks. I'm Norm MacDonald. And now the fake news. Well, it is finally official. Murder is legal in the state of California. On Tuesday at 1:15, the moment the Simpson verdict was delivered, Court TV scored its highest ratings ever. An hour later, the channel went out of business. Well, that covers the main developments in the O.J. Simpson case this week. And after all, other important things are going on in the world. Now more O.J. Simpson. When Simpson trial juror Gina Rodborough returned home this week, her little girls were delighted to have her back. And no wonder. She lets them get away with murder.
He did not let up on the OJ jokes, and eventually they're like, see you later, goodbye.
Yeah. I don't know how well... See, to me, he was like the perfect age for me to, respond to him. I don't know if people... You know, Jacob's age even were aware of his existence, but he had this perfect kind of elan about him that he was just there was nobody like him. You know, like Don Rickles had a certain obvious kind of style. He was like the anti Don Rickles. He was so laid back. He would still throw barbs, but they'd be like barbs, you know, that came from like 4 feet away and then eventually landed. I love that kind of lazy slingshot of a comedy style. And I don't know, do we have other clips?
Yeah,
I'm hoping?
Hosts love to have him on because he was so great. Because he would, I used to watch him. He'd get on there and he would tell a joke, and the joke would go on and on and on and on and on. And it was like even a joke people would know. He's like, yeah, so my neighbor comes over and he's looking, and you know the David Letterman and him just let him do the joke because they just enjoyed him.
I watch the TV, I watch the news, make you afraid. The news, you know, put all these stories on. Iraq, Iran, North Korea, you know, try to scare you, you know. But does it ever really scare you? Like, you ever wake up in the middle of the night, North Korea! That little tiny country across the ocean. I wonder if they'll get me. Plus, didn't MASH settle that like 20 years ago?
I found this, Tom. I thought you'd like this. This is, he's on with Larry King. Larry King. And they're talking about death. And I don't know when this is. When was this? I can't tell, but here we go.
Nowadays, I've been looking into this, maybe to allay your fears.
Looking into the idea that you don't have to be there when you die. You just, like here.
Nowadays, my doctor tells me, they can put you to sleep. And you go to sleep. And 2 weeks later, you don't wake up. But you don't wake up at all. But 2 weeks later, your heart stops. But you can go to sleep for 2 weeks and not have to endure howling anguish and pain or anything like
no
that.
Cancer, no cancer.
It's all gone.
Our guest is the one and only Norm MacDonald. Truly, there's nothing like him.
Yeah, so I guess the strange thing is to be able to keep... it a secret from people for so long. One more quick joke from Norm from the set.
I was on the street the other day, and I saw a garbage truck, and on the back of the garbage truck, there was a small sign that said, please do not follow too closely. Another of life's simple pleasures ruined by a meddling bureaucracy, ladies and gentlemen. You remember the old days when Dad would pile the kids in the station wagon and we'd all go out and follow a garbage truck.
Dory, I have to say something. Dory, with the number one most listened to show in the world, was really, really moved by the news, and it really hit him. He and his wife, and I mean, not for some reason, they wanted to go see Norm MacDonald in Las Vegas. They paid extra money to sit right down front. Dory just raved about it on the show, but I'm sure every single person that's ever had a radio heard that and just said it was just an amazing experience to see Norm MacDonald. And he was really, really quite touched, and at a loss for words today when the news broke that Norm had lost his life to whatever the cancer was. We don't even know that at the age of 61. So,
you know, I would recommend, since everything lives on YouTube, to track down the Jeopardy. He played Burt Reynolds. You had Sean Connery impersonation and Alex Trebek with Will Ferrell. It's hilarious. It's like an 8-minute bit, and I could not stop laughing. It's really well-written and clever.
Yeah. He. By the way, he's not Burt Reynolds. He's something Turd McPherson-y or something.
Yeah, that's right. Because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
He says, okay, Burt? No, that's not my name.
Yeah.
Okay, Turd Ferguson.
Here's Tracy Taylor with the Barking Dog. All right, Sean.
Yes.
I want you to look me right in the eyes. Just look me in the eye.
Yeah.
And
okay.
you just stay focused on me.
Yeah.
And start the song.
Okay.
Stay so, and then and here we go. You
well,
ready?
I need to look down at the button.
I'm sorry.
Push the button.
Sorry. Go ahead and start. There we go.
I'm looking
and
at
look
you.
Look right at me.
This is weird.
Right. Okay. Don't keep looking. Keep looking.
Yeah. Those are those LASIK guys.
Look at us.
Oh.
All right.
Hello.
All right. Not bad. We just tried something new there, Tom. Didn't work. All right. We'll get to letter of the day. But first, let's take care of all the rest. Here we go.
And I just want to mention, check out Sierra's splashy, flashy, slinky green dress. It's got Seahawks written all
really
over it.
Really into it. Okay. Wow. Okay. Thank
it's
you, Tom.
Hilarious. Okay. Now, for the squirrel. Of course, everybody wants to talk about the squirrel, John.
Okay,
we talk about all
good.
Sorts of important things.
Yes.
Area code 206. John, I understand your confusion about your feelings toward the squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
I have moles destroying my backyard. I hate the moles, but when my dog carried one in its jaws into our house, I gently tried to get the still-alive mole to crawl back into the hole he came out of.
No, it's wow. So hard. 360, Blackie the zombie squirrel, having fed on tuna fish sandwiches, coming back for you. I hope it makes friends with the 9-year-old ghost boy.
Funny. And Trucker Robert from Puyallup, I wouldn't suggest the previous advice that you received with the chicken incident.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hang a squirrel bone around their necks.
No.
My suggestion would be to give them a productive activity to do. You have a shotgun.
Yes.
There are lakes nearby.
Yeah.
Take them out duck hunting.
Oh, boy.
That way, they're bringing you back something that was already dead.
Robert, that's the worst advice. Thank you. Fair Ambassador 253 says, kinder?
Kindler and gentler, which people picked up on that.
Okay, sorry, Sully.
I love our witty listeners. Kyle and Olympia,
mm-hmm.
You think the train is bad? Get this. I tried to take my daughter to Disneyland, and Alaska Airlines had the guts to see my ticket before I even got on the plane. Both ways, I was not aware that it was supposed to hurt my feelings, but I tell you, next time, I'm going to be really whiny about it.
Nick and Orcas.
Sarcastic.
Nick from Orcas. John is right. If you want to get serious about fare collection, you need the fare collectors to look respectable and intimidating, like a mall security guard. I didn't say that.
253. Ooh. Ask him, meaning Sully, about the finer points of deep snapping. And go Bobcats.
Oh, God, deep snapping. 206. You want to get more people on Sound Transit? Make it safe. Put security on everything.
Oh, dear. Now we have to talk about your nudity. All right,
I'm sorry. We can skip it, Tom. We don't have to talk about
it. Brad the Painter. No.
No, obviously,
Brad the
it's
Painter.
A problem for you. Go ahead.
John, as somebody who was born and raised in the country, I got to tell you, you are making a huge mistake.
Really?
Never be naked in the woods. It's a place of constant danger and surprise. Do you really want to confront a burglar with your junk all out? Fight a bear? What state of dress would you like your friend Dougie to find you in when he discovers your corpsified body trapped under your tractor after not hearing from you for 3 days? Oh, my God.
Jeez. 360, a reason for John to come to the station more often, he can get an intern to do his laundry. Yeah, that would be nice.
And area code 206. So Dougie and the UPS guy both know where all of John's moles are.
That's good. Nice work for the word moles. COVID sniffing dogs, 206. We were told that our dogs and animals could give us COVID. Now they're shoving COVID positive faces covers in their muzzles. Or now are they? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, because that's 206. How they train them.
Okay, got it.
More on the COVID sniffing dogs, 253. John, I wonder if the dog can differentiate between the different variants of COVID, including Delta.
Ooh, wouldn't that? Wow. Zorg, whatever that dog's name. All right, Teeny Tiny's got part of the day, Tom. Here we go.
Area code 425. You guys ruined the best part of the show yesterday.
No.
The letters. If you don't have the professional composer to dispatch a squirrel on live radio, maybe you should be given the opportunity to pursue other passions and spend more time with family.
My God. She's sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
That's all she wrote. Didn't write no more. She left the gloom hanging around my front door.
Let's do it again.